Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 14. He says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man.'" Dengar pula petikan ini dalam bahasa Malaysia, yaitu Lukas, Injil Lukas pasal kedua, ayat ke-8 sampai ke-14. "Pada malam itu, beberapa orang gembala sedang menjaga domba di padang. Tiba-tiba, malaikat Tuhan menampakkan diri kepada mereka dan cahaya kemuliaan Tuhan menerangi mereka sehingga mereka ketakutan. Tetapi malaikat itu berkata, 'Janganlah takut, aku datang membawa berita baik untuk kamu, berita yang akan menggembirakan untuk semua orang. Pada hari ini di kota Daud telah lahir juruselamat kamu, Kristus Tuhan. Inilah tandanya, kamu akan menemui seorang bayi yang dibedung dalam kain dan berbaring dalam palung.' Tiba-tiba malaikat itu disertai oleh sepasukan besar malaikat syurga yang memuji-muji Tuhan. 'Termulialah Tuhan di langit yang tertinggi, dan di atas bumi sejahtera manusia yang menyenangkan hatinya.'" Now this is a brief message to remind us what Christmas is all about. Ini adalah satu berita yang singkat saja untuk mengingati kami semua. Apakah maksud Natal ini? Apa maksud hari Christmas, hari Natal ini? Now it concerns good tidings. It is good news. Good news to people who are hungry for good news. Ini adalah berita baik untuk mereka yang memang idamkan, yang memang inginkan berita yang baik itu. And we want to focus on verse 10 and verse 11 of the passage which we have just read. And from each verse, we want to note 3 points. Kita ingin tumpukan perhatian kita pada 2 ayat dari petikan yang kita sudah baca itu, ayat ke-10 dan ayat ke-11. Dari setiap ayat itu, kita akan menumpukan perhatian pada 3 perkara sahaja. Apakah ketiga perkara itu? What are those 3 points? We will see as we go along. But the basic message is that the coming of Jesus Christ will affect our eternal destiny. Where will we be when this world is over? Where will we be when our life is over? Many do not give a thought for this. Now, kita ingin mengetahui, tak mengapa, biar di dewan kecil itu saja. Ke dewan kecil saja dapat dengar juga, dapat ikuti acara ini. Yeah. So it's okay. They will go to the secondary hall. It's okay. Now we want to take note that often we don't give a thought to our life, but this is an occasion when we must give a thought to our life. Let me put this question to you. See. When were you born exactly? Into which family? Oh, you can answer that question. Your birthday and family. What is your surname? What is your family name? Which kampung, which town you were born? But I do not mean that. Kalau saya tanyakan anda kalian, di manakah anda dilahirkan? Kebanyakan orang tahu, kampung mana, apa hari lahir kita tahu. Tapi itu bukan maksud saya. What I want to ask is more, were you aware of your own birth? Of course, none of us were aware of our own birth. Were you aware of the circumstances of your birth? Of course you were not aware. And then let me put it another way. You see, could you have chosen where to be born and in at what date and under what circumstances? You know that you did not have the power of choice. It's not that you want or not, you do not have that power. See? And in other words, the beginning of your life was not your choice. It wasn't your choice at all. See? Then how can you say that this life comes from you? How can you say that this life comes even from your parents? Your parents couldn't have the choice. They could not choose what era, what country, under what circumstances you were to be born. So your birth was not determined by yourself. Your birth was determined by the Lord God Almighty. Now many people never stop to think like that. Kebanyakan orang tak berhenti untuk memikirkan dalam keadaan apa kita dilahirkan. Adakah kita mempunyai apa pilihan? Waktu anda dilahirkan, adakah anda pilih? Oh, aku ini ingin dilahirkan dalam zaman ini, tahun ini, dalam keadaan ini. Kita tidak ada kuasa, kita tidak berdaya untuk memilihnya. Bukannya tak diberikan pilihan, tapi kita sememangnya tidak ada daya untuk memilih. Sekiranya permulaan kehidupan kita itu tidak dalam tangan kita, bukan dalam tangan kita, kita tak berdaya untuk memilih. Adakah kehidupan kita, nyawa kita itu datang dari kita sendiri? Bukan dari kita sendiri. Bahkan bukan dari ibu bapa kita, orang tua kita. Sebenarnya datangnya dari Tuhan Maha Kuasa itu. Adakah anda terfikir perkara ini? So have we ever thought that we did not have the power? It's not that you don't want your, or you have a choice or not. You simply had no power. You were not around. It is the Lord God Almighty who chose when you were to be born. Now consider the time of your death. Short of taking your own life, which is sinful, because this life for you have no right to take your own life. Those who take their own life, they are sinning against God. So for those who understand this truth, they will never allow this thought to come to their mind. However difficult life may be, they will never allow suicide to come to their mind. It's just sinful. It is not right. It doesn't solve any problem. See? So short of taking your own life, you discover that you again do not have the power to determine when you will die, at what place you will die, under what circumstances you will die. See? Jadi kita pikirkan waktu kita meninggal itu, adakah kita berkuasa untuk memilih di mana tempat kita akan meninggal? Ha? Dan dalam keadaan apa kita akan meninggal? Yang ada orang mau membunuh diri. Ha? Tapi kita tahu nyawa kita sememangnya bukan dari kita sendiri. Kita sudah pelajari hal ini tadi, bukan? Bahwa kita tak memilih bilakah kita dilahirkan dalam keadaan mana. Jadi nyawa kita bukan datangnya dari kita sendiri. Nyawa kita datangnya dari Tuhan yang Maha Kuasa itu. Dia Maha Berkuasa. Sekiranya dia yang memberikan kita nyawa kita tak berhak membunuh diri. Jadi kalau kita tak mau pikirkan pembunuhan diri, kita tidak dapat memilih waktu bila kita mati. Dalam keadaan apa kita akan meninggal dunia ini. Jadi, pikirkan. If the beginning of our life and the end of our life are not determined by us, then what is that life in between? Is it yours? Are you really in control of your life? You must be joking. See, we all have minds to think. The problem is we switch off our mind and never use our mind to think. We think in so many other things that are so short-sighted and of this world. But now I'm inviting you to think a little bit deeper, a little bit further. Think of where we have come from and where we would be. When we look at life in this broad perspective, you discover, you know, it just does not make sense that our life came from ourselves and we are in control. If the beginning of our life and the end of our life are not in our control, it has been given to us, it follows that that life that we are living in between our birth and our death, that comes from God, that is under God's control. You are a thinker, aren't you? See, all of us pride ourselves to be intelligent. We are philosophical. We are logical. We use our mind. But this truth must be faced. Your life does not come from you, and you are not in control of your life. See, kita tidak berhak pada nyawa kita. Nyawa kita diberikan kepada kita oleh Tuhan. Dan kita tidak berkuasa atas nyawa kita. Kalau permulaan kehidupan kita datangnya dari Tuhan, dan keakhiran kehidupan kita datangnya dari Tuhan, nyawa di antara kelahiran dan kematian kita itu, adakah kita punya? Pikirlah. Nyata sekali. Nyawa kita itu bukan datangnya dari kita sendiri. Dan nyawa itu bukan kepunyaan kita. Tuhan yang miliki nyawa kita. Now the next thing to understand is that for as long as you are not related to your maker, for as long as you do not know him, and for as long as you are not reconciled to him, your life is never wholesome. Think of a person who has been given away as an orphan. He may be loved in this foster adoptive family. He may be happy as he grew up. But the day came when he began to wonder, who were my actual parents? And we have read many stories, you have heard many cases where people are not satisfied until they know who their biological father and mother are. And when they know, they just have that satisfaction. Not that I want to go back to my biological parents. See, I'm well loved in my adoptive family, but it's just the satisfaction of knowing who they are. Human beings are like that. We want to know our roots. We want to know where we came from. And in that way, we have peace of mind to plot where we want to go next. See? So we need to relate to our Maker. We need to know him. And we want to be known by him. We want to be reconciled to him. Then life becomes wholesome. Otherwise, there is a big gap in our lives. The book of Ecclesiastes described it as eternity being written on our hearts. You see, all of us have this deep longing to know who our Maker is, and this deep longing to be known by him and to know him, to be reconciled to him. Because semua orang ada keinginan tahu siapakah pencipta kita, siapakah Tuhan kita. Selagi kita tidak mengenali siapa pencipta kita, kita seperti seorang anak yatim piatu yang tak mengenali ibu bapa kita. Atau kita diangkat oleh keluarga lain dan kita ingin tahu siapa sebenarnya orang tua kita. Sehingga kita tahu siapakah mereka, kita kurang senang. Jadi kehidupan kita ini kurang memuaskan selagi kita tidak mengenali siapa pencipta kita. Ha. So in this passage here, there are three things from verse 10 and three things from verse 11 that we wish to know. Okay. So, come. So we proceed. We come to the three things we need to know from verse 10. Kita ingin tahu tiga perkara dari ayat ke-10. Apakah yang kita pelajari dari ayat 10? We are told that there is good tidings or good news. Then secondly, there is great joy. And thirdly, it is to all people. So let me very briefly say something about each. There is good tidings, there is good news. Look at the world we live in. If you follow the news every day, you will be very depressed. Because there's hardly any good news. And whatever good news there is, it is always colored by things that are negative, making us unhappy. Oh, your daughter comes home passing her exams. You're so happy. Your son comes home to say, I was the first in the sports meet. Oh, you're so happy. But wait a moment. The moment you sit down to have your meal, you have to remember, oh, you know, somebody is sick. You have to go and visit. The news comes to say that your grandpa is not well, or your grandma, something has happened to. You see, in living in a world like this, we face with trials, with sorrow of various kind. That is why I often say from this pulpit that you have not lived long yet if you have not faced trials and sorrow in your life. Wait till you live a bit longer. Those who live longer, they can tell you, just as there are joys in this world, that the joys are never perfect. We face with trials of various kinds, the sorrow that comes to us. And often when you are in the midst of such trials, the world is like, it's just coming down upon you. We face many bitter experiences in life, just as there have been joys. So what we want to say is that whatever good news you get in this world is never perfect. It is always colored by the negative things of this world. Perkara pertama ialah, ada berita baik, tetapi berita baik ini beza dari berita baik yang terdapat dari dunia ini. Dalam dunia ini, apa-apa berita baik pun ada unsur yang tidak baiknya. Memang, sebaik mana pun berita itu diterima kita, kita tahu tak lama kemudian kita diingatkan bahawa kita berada di dalam dunia yang berdosa ini. Banyak perkara yang menyebabkan hati kita kurang senang. That is a fact. But this news that is being given to us is from heaven. It is of a different quality, of a different kind from the news of this world. And it will therefore give us perfect joy, which is the second thing mentioned. Yes, it will give joy. Joy that is not affected by the things of this world. But you say, wait a moment, is there such a thing as joy that is not affected by the things of this world? Does it mean that when we have this joy, we will no more face any trials and sorrow of this world? We do not mean that. We live in a world that is fallen, as we have noted. We sin against God. Our forefather Adam sinned against God. We have inherited that sinful nature. If you don't harm others, others will harm you. We live in a fallen world. But what we are saying is that in the midst of this fallen world, there is this joy that is untainted by everything around you. You receive this joy, it will still be perfect joy from heaven, although you are experiencing the trials and sorrow of this world. So we do not promise that there is no joy, no sorrow and pain in this world, but we are saying that this joy is a special joy that is not of this world, and it cannot therefore be tainted by the things of this world. Yes, this joy can exist even though you are in this world of sorrow and trials. Ask any Christian, ask anyone who truly has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They can tell you, they have faced many trials and sorrow like any others in the world, but yet in their hearts they can have that joy that is from above. We will say more about that in a moment, but we just want to point out that there is this good news that leads to joy because it is from heaven. Jadi, dari sini kita tahu berita ini bukan datangnya dari dunia ini. Maka berita ini dapat memberikan kita kegembiraan yang dunia ini tak dapat memberikan kepada kita. Ini tak bermaksud kita tak akan menghadapi apa lagi derita dalam dunia ini. Tidak, kita masih lagi menghadapi banyak kesulitan, penderitaan di dunia ini. Tetapi orang yang sudah benar-benar mengenali Yesus Kristus, orang yang benar-benar Kristen, mereka dapat menyaksi kepadamu bahawa sungguh pun mereka dalam dunia yang penuh dengan derita ini, mereka juga mengalami kegembiraan di dalam hati mereka. Ini kerana kegembiraan ini datang dari berita baik yang datangnya dari syurga. So we move to the third point of verse 10. That this good news that brings this perfect joy in a world that is full of trouble. See, this is meant for everyone. And in those days, the Jews thought that they were the special people of God. And in a sense, they were. In the Old Testament time, God chose only that nation to reveal himself, to have the truth preserved and propagated until the Savior came. And we know from the Old Testament stories, it's so clear. The nation of Israel kept failing God. They were unfaithful to God. God sent prophets to them to tell them to repent and come back to him, but they refused. They kept going astray. The time came when John the Baptist appeared on the scene, and John the Baptist said, the axe is already laid at the root of the tree. In other words, the time had come when that tree was going to fall. The nation of Israel was no longer going to be regarded as the special people of God. And the reason was because God's purpose for that nation had been fulfilled. When Jesus Christ came, the nation of Israel no longer became a special people. You mean then the Jews are not going to be saved? We never say that. We are only saying that the Jews, any Jew who wants to be saved, now has to repent of his sin and believe in Jesus Christ the Savior, just like people of other nations. Therefore, anyone who keeps thinking that the Jews are going to be saved simply because they are born Jews, you are badly mistaken. You have absorbed wrong teaching. Really is wrong teaching. We officially declare that our stand in the church is this. We follow the age-old evangelical teaching that there is only one way of salvation. It is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, you must repent and believe in Jesus Christ, whoever you are, whether Jew or Gentile. Jadi kita semua harus diselamatkan dalam satu cara saja, yaitu kita perlu bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Berita baik yang membawa kegembiraan yang sempurna ini adalah untuk semua bangsa, semua kaum, semua suku. Bukan saja untuk Bani Israel. Bukan saja untuk orang-orang Israel, tetapi kepada semua orang. Untuk menikmati kegembiraan yang sempurna itu, kita harus bertobat dan percaya. Tetapi bertobat dan percaya siapa? Bertobat dari apa? Percaya kepada siapa? So we have to repent and believe to receive this perfect joy that comes from this good news that comes from above. Now verse 11 gives us the answer. What it means to repent and what it means to believe. Verse 11 gives us three things. First, a Savior. Second, the Christ. And third, the Lord. Now, Jesus Christ is the Savior. He saves us from our sin. But what do we need to be saved from? You say, I'm okay. You see, have you ever not fallen sick before? When you fell sick, you try to cure yourself, right? Oh, you swallow tablets of your own. But the time came when you realize, I don't know what's happening to me. Then you go to seek somebody who is a specialist in this area. Huh? You go to see the doctor. And now you know that you can't cure yourself. You need somebody else to help you. Okay? Switch the picture to a more desperate situation. Are you a good swimmer? Oh, many here say, yeah, I can swim. And especially when we were younger, we thought that we could survive. You throw me anywhere into the deep, I can survive. Because I'm such a great swimmer. Yes. Especially those born in kampungs, you know. Yeah. You throw them into the river, they can swim. They don't have the breaststroke or whatever stroke they call it. They just say dog style or whatever. They survive. You say, throw them into the deep, they will survive. See? But however strong the swimmer you may be, the day will come when while swimming in the deep, you have a cramp. And you never expected that would happen. And when that happens, you panic. You realize, you know, you can't do anything about it. And your leg is cramped, it is curled up. It's so painful that you can't swim anymore. You never expected that. You thought everything was under your control. But that thing happened. That thing happened. You began to sink. Water began to come into you. As you come out of the water, you take gaps of breath and you're calling out, help! And you go down again and more water gets into you. You begin to panic. It happens. It happens. Strong swimmers have died, being drowned. Sebaik mana pun kita berenang, ada satu hari nanti, lutut kita itu menyebabkan kita tidak dapat berenang. Krem itu berlaku sehinggalah kita tak dapat berenang lagi. Apabila kita tak dapat berenang, kita mulai hanyut. Kalau hanyut tu air masuk ke dalam kita, kita meminta tolong, tetapi sekarang kita tahu kita tak mungkin menyelamatkan diri. The time comes when we realize we cannot save ourselves, we need someone to save us. I'm only bringing home to you the reality that we need a savior. But it is not saving us just from drowning. It's to save us from our sin. We have sinned against God. Look at ourselves. See, our thoughts are not clean. Our words are not true. Our hands have not done all things right. And our conscience are not clear. Why is it that whenever you do something wrong, When nobody is around, you still feel guilty. Why? It is because we have this consciousness that God has sinned. God knows. So the Bible makes it clear to us that we sin in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And all these actions of sins arise from a nature that is sinful. Your hearts are not clean. Your body is not clean. You can use plenty of soap and water and wash. But how are you going to clean your heart? Your heart is filthy. Can you use soap and water to clean? You know you can't. And this is where the Bible tells us you need a Savior. And that Savior has come. The way He cleansed our hearts is by dying on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for His people. The blood of Jesus Christ flowed. Why? It was in order for the cleansing of our hearts. It was in order that we may have His righteousness on us so that we can stand before the Holy God. So that's how we are going to be saved. We need a Savior. Our sins need to be made up for, and Christ made up for our sins by dying in our place. That's what it's meant by His blood cleansing us. Then we need righteousness to stand before the Holy God. How can the Holy God forgive us and not accept us? We want to be accepted. Otherwise, where do we go? We do not want to go to hell for our sins. So we want forgiveness for our sins and acceptance by God in order that we may go to heaven. Acceptance before God is not based on what you do, however good you have been. No, it's simply because of Jesus Christ's righteousness counted as yours. It is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the only way by which God forgives us and accepts us into heaven. Therefore, it's not by your effort, not by whatever good you do. It is just relying on Jesus Christ, who takes away our sin and who gives us His righteousness to stand before God. Jadi bagaimanakah kita diselamatkan dari dosa kita? Dengan bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Kalau badan kita kotor, kita mungkin menggunakan banyak air dan sabun untuk menyucikan diri. Tapi kalau hati kita itu kotor, macam manakah kita dapat membersihkannya dengan sabun dan air? Tak mungkin kita membersihkan diri kita. Kita perlu percaya kepada Yesus. Bertobatlah dan percaya kepadanya kerana Dia mati di atas salib sebagai korban sempurna untuk orang yang percaya kepadanya. Apabila kita percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, maka kematiannya ialah untuk pihak kita. Dia sudah mati menggantikan kita. Dengan cara itu, hutang dosa kita itu sudah dilunaskan. Tak perlu kita membayar lagi. Itu maksudnya darahnya menyucikan hati kita. Dan kalau kita diampunkan dosa kita oleh Tuhan, kita mau juga diterimanya ke surga. Kita tidak mau masuk ke neraka. Kita perlu masuk neraka, tapi kalau diampunkan dan tak diterima ke surga, siapa mau? Kita mau diampunkan dan juga diterima oleh Tuhan kita. Kita dapat diterima oleh Tuhan hanya kalau kita diberikan kebenaran Yesus Kristus. Kita sendiri tak ada kebenaran. Kita tak mungkin mencipta kebenaran sendiri. There's no possibility of us producing that righteousness that is perfect to stand before God. We have to rely on the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, counted as ours, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Kebenaran Yesus Kristus yang dianggap kita punya apabila kita bertobat dan percaya kepadanya. Jadi sekarang kita sudah jelas, kita perlukan juru selamat. We need a Savior. And this Savior who has come is called the Christ, the Anointed One. Which means that there is no other Savior except Him. Wow. In the first point, we need a Savior. You really make me so small. I thought I was so strong, I can survive, I can live my own life, I'm in control. Then you give the illustration of going to a doctor. Then you give the illustration of saving me from drowning. And then finally you show to me that I have to stand before God only based on Jesus Christ's death on the cross. You really come to make me so small. And that is the purpose of the Bible. We stand too high in our own eyes. Our noses are too high up in the sky. See? Kita semua terlalu angkuh. Jadi Alkitab sengaja mau merendahkan hati kita. Pertama, kita perlukan seorang juru selamat. Sebelum ini kita pikir dengan usaha sendiri kita dapat pergi ke syurga. Sekarang kita tahu kita tak mungkin menyelamatkan diri. Kita perlukan seorang juru selamat. And now the second point tells us the Christ, the only Savior whom God has sent. Therefore, there's no other. You thought, you know, if I don't come to this Savior, I can go to another Savior. Is there not another Savior? You already humbled me enough to realize I'm not as strong as I really thought I was. But at least I can go to another Savior. Yours is not the only way. Yours is not the only Savior. But the Bible says, God has sent us only this one. That's why He's the Christ, the anointed one. Alkitab kata, tidak ada juru selamat yang lain, melainkan yang terpilih, yang diurapi Tuhan itu. Tak ada yang lain. Oh, kalau begitu. So, you really humble me. You knock me down to make me see that I need a Savior. And you knock me down further to say, there's no other but this one. You have to follow this one. Wah, saya terasa seperti dikutuk sampai saya rendah sekali. Hati saya sudah direndahkan semakin rendah lagi. Tak ada pilihan melainkan juru selamat ini. And number three. He must be your Lord. You know what that means? You protest that you have been knocked low. You protest that you have been knocked lower. And I want to tell you that the Bible says you are not low enough yet. You have to go down to the earth. What? Like that? Yes, go down to the earth. So that you look left and look right, you don't find any Savior. You look down, of course, there's just the earth. There's only one direction you can look when you're really down. Turn over and look up. Look up to Jesus Christ and call Him Lord. Make Him your Lord. Say, you really have to have Jesus Christ as your Lord, without which you are not a true Christian, you cannot be saved. Kita terkena jatuh lebih rendah lagi. Oh, sebelum ini, fikir saya ini kuat dapat melalui usaha sendiri, selamatkan sendiri. Tapi menurut ajaran Alkitab, saya direndahkan. Oh, saya perlukan juru selamat. Kemudian saya direndahkan lagi. Bukan juru selamat mana yang lain. Hanya ini saja satu-satunya juru selamat. Yaitu Kristus. Kristus. Dia yang diurapi. Tuhan tidak menyediakan mana-mana juru selamat yang lain. Hanya ini saja. Wah. Sudah cukup rendah. Belum lagi. Terkena rendah lagi. Kita terkena sampai ke tanah. Sehinggalah kalau kita pusing ke kiri ke kanan. Kita tak dapat pertolongan dari mana-mana. Kita lihat ke bawah tanah saja. Jadi sekarang mengadah ke arah mana? Satu saja arah. Palinglah ke atas. Lihatlah kepada Yesus Kristus. Panggillah dia Tuhanku. Ha, barulah anda benar-benar Kristian. Barulah anda diselamatkan. Kebanyakan orang dalam dunia ini memanggil diri mereka Kristian, sebenarnya belum benar-benar bertobat dan percaya. Kalau benar-benar bertobat dan percaya, anda akan memanggil Yesus Kristus Tuhanku. Biarlah aku diselamatkan. Aku perlukan seorang juru selamat. Okay. Tak ada juru selamat lain melainkan Yesus Kristus. Dan bukan itu saja, aku terkena menunduk kepadanya dan memanggil dia Tuhanku. He must be your King. He must be your Lord. Without which you are not a true Christian. Too many call themselves Christians, but look at their lives. They're not submitted to Jesus Christ as their Lord. They claim that they can have Him as Savior, but not as Lord. According to the teaching of the Bible, that is nonsensical. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to have Him as your Lord. There's no other way. Kalau Yesus itu juru selamat kita, dia juga Tuhan kita. Tak ada pilihan lain. So you see now, we began by noting the 3 points from verse 10. There is good news. This good news concerns Jesus Christ, the Savior, our God. Then there is joy that comes to us from heaven, not from the world. That joy will be yours only when you know Jesus Christ, your Savior. And it is for everyone. It is not just for the Jews. It is not just for special people born into Christian families or whatever. It is for everyone. The Jew can come to Jesus Christ and repent and believe and be saved. That joy from heaven will be theirs. You were born in a Christian family. You have been brought up in the Sunday school. But you still need to repent and come to Jesus Christ, without which you are not a true Christian yet. See? And you may be from pagan background. I have been brought up worshipping this goddess, that god. How many gods and goddesses we have been worshipping. Some of us even have been offered to all these goddesses and goddesses. You see? But we can still repent and come and believe in Jesus Christ. Then we will be accepted as the children of God. You know now the true meaning of Christmas. The coming of this good news that brings joy. Joy that is from above. And it is meant for everyone. Everyone. Just simply everyone. Whoever yearns for to know their Creator, their Savior, you may come. You may come to Jesus Christ. Ini adalah berita baik untuk semua orang, tak kira siapa anda ini, tak kira apa-apa ke latar belakangmu. Yang penting ialah kita ada keinginan mau diselamatkan. Kita rindukan keselamatan. Kita rindukan pengetahuan siapa dia pencipta kita. Bapa kita di syurga itu siapa. Maka kita bertobat. Kita percaya kepada Yesus. Dengan cara itu saja, kegembiraan yang dijanjikan itu menjadi kepunyaan kita sendiri. Ini maksud Natal. Ini maksud Christmas. Biarlah hari ini kita bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. So we know now this is the meaning of Christmas. Let us all repent and come and believe in Jesus Christ.